All right, this is the Happy House Hunters, our mastermind group. I apologize for being a few minutes late. I had to reboot my computer. It wouldn't let me open up Zoom. So sorry about that. So here we are. I am in the middle of a move out and open house and collecting applications. And so we're just going to kind of share around the room. I'm going to look at my folder right here. So far today, I posted this. On the 10th is when I posted my ad, which would have been last Wednesday. And the only place I posted it was on Craigslist. And then I highlighted my URL, my Craigslist ad, and I put it out across my social media, some of those social media groups that we're all in, you know, folks looking for apartments, that sort of thing. And I put it over on apartments.com. And I don't always do that, but I thought I would this time. And I've had a nice response there. But I have a total of 9 applications already that hasn't even seen the unit yet, but they've applied. And with all of the scams that are out there, that always amazes me, because they just freely give me their social security number, their date of birth, their address. It's all the stuff that a scammer is looking. And I'm like, you don't have, you know, wow. I mean, they offer way too much information, but it's okay. It's okay. Because I know I'm not going to misuse that information, but it just surprises me that folks are that willing, you know, to do that. But anyhow, I have 9 applications. Out of the 9, I have 6 that are pretty good quality and maybe 3 that are borderline. And so now my project is to actually start calling those folks and just filling in the blanks, the things that maybe they didn't totally fill out on the application, or maybe they've skipped a blank or a question, and just make sure that I have all the information. And then my new system is that I am going to go through the order that I receive them. I put a little number at the top in red on each one as to which one was number 1, number 2, all the way through number 9. And I am going to actually test those against my template of what I'm looking for. And the first one that qualifies will be is the order that I'm going to offer the unit. And the reason is because there's been some court cases now in the state of Ohio because housing is so hard to come by, so hard to find. All of the reports tell us that the housing is, you know, the numbers are not equal to the numbers of folks that need housing. And so there are some lawsuits coming to the surface of folks claiming discrimination for whatever reason, whether they had, maybe a comfort animal, or, and that's why they didn't get the unit, or for whatever reason, or they weren't on the job long enough. So anyhow, my point in all of that is create your system on what your requirements are, and then measure all your applicants to the same system every time. So with that said, as we're speaking, I now have 2 more people that are interested in my unit just since I got onto the call. So so you can see how busy things are. So I kind of want to just share where we're at with everyone, and not only whatever your win might be in filling a unit, an investment property, or what your whatever your stress is. What is it that's really stressing you out right now? The last time that I posted a unit for rent, I put it out on Marketplace. I only did Marketplace 1 time, and it was the unit right before this one. And I had 80 applications, like in the matter of 3 days, and people were getting a little mean. They were, you know, offering twice the rent. They were, and one of them, you know, gave me a death threat because I didn't rent it to him. And I mean, you know, quite explicit. I mean, he spelled out what he wanted to do. And so, you know, things are just a little crazy out there. So I just want to say, be careful. And before we go around the room, I went to a ballroom dance Friday night where Mark and I are in at Ballroom Dance Club. And one of the other attendees, another couple, they are also landlords. And they have, I think he said maybe 10 houses up around the Mays Road area in Columbus. And he had to move out, and he does a lot of his own work. So he went over and was working in the unit, and he was waiting for a plumber named Bill to come in because he needed a little bit of plumbing work done before he could put the unit back out there on the market. And he was touching up some paint and cleaning and waiting for Bill. Well, this couple came in, this girl and this guy came in, and they said, "Is Bill here?" And he's like, okay, maybe the plumber told his friends that that's where he was going to be and for them to show up there. So that confused him because he too was waiting for Bill. So he said, Bill's not here yet. Can I help you with something? And they said, no, Bill, the guy that lives here. And he said, no, there isn't a Bill. And he said his tenant that moved out was not named Bill. So he said, no. And then, of course, he probably offered too much information at this point. He said, no, he said, I'm the homeowner. And and I'm not Bill. So, no, there's no Bill that lives here. Well, the guy proceeded to pull a gun on him and rob him of his wallet and cell phone and had a gun. Don't know whether it was loaded or not. And then he and the girl left with, of course, our friend's wallet and cell phone. So our friend didn't have a cell phone to call anyone. So of course he has 10 properties there on that street. So he went next door. So now he's the guy knocking on the door in this neighborhood, trying to get in. And of course, no one was home, everyone was working. And so he said he still had his keys. He still had his vehicle. Thank goodness they didn't take his keys or his vehicle. And he then was driving and he said, you can't find a payphone anywhere. And he said, of course he was a little rattled at this point. But he said he ended up driving all the way to the police station and filing the report. And so, then they had him do this picture lineup, and he said all the pictures looked alike. And he said the guy had a tattoo on his neck. And in these pictures, the police had taken a black marker and had blacked out or that section of all of the pictures on the neck. And he said, why did you do that? He said, these all look alike without that. And the officer said, yeah, well, that's kind of the point. We want you to be because the fact that somebody has your wallet and your cell phone is different than the fact that somebody pulled a gun on you. He said, we're talking two different charges. And he said, you can't say that, you know, this is the guy that pulled the gun if it wasn't the guy that pulled the gun. So he said, you have to be able to identify that person without that identifying mark, that beyond a shadow of a doubt, you know, that is the man that pulled. And he said, I couldn't. He said, I could say these five were not the guy, but these three over here could have been. He said, because what I noticed was the tattoo. And because he said at that point, they could have handed the wallet and the phone off to someone else. And that wouldn't necessarily mean that was the person that pulled the gun on you. So anyhow, it's police work, which we're not into, but they did catch the guy, but they can only charge him, of course, with theft. They can't charge him with the gun because he actually went home and paid his own phone bill with my guy's credit card. So as soon as that charge came up and they saw who it was, and it's the guy that has the tattoo on his neck. So my guy is pretty sure it's the same guy that held the gun on him. But of course, since he couldn't pull him out of the lineup, they can't prove it. So you get the idea. So anyhow, we've got to be diligent and careful out there. I like open houses, but you've got to, open houses are a little better, I think, than showing houses one-on-one, because oftentimes, especially if you're a single gal, you're there by yourself. And even a single guy, this was a single guy there by yourself. And, and if two or three people come in, you really have little defense for yourself being there. And so in an open house, you have, a group of people, and it's not as likely that somebody is going to try something when there's that many witnesses and, too much activity going on. So it's just like, safety in numbers kind of. So I still prefer to show houses in an open house environment, and I still don't like to go by myself, even if I go with another gal or another couple, or if Mark can go with me or whatever. I try to do everything in numbers. So I don't know if that's helpful for everyone, but that works for me. So anyhow, I'm in the middle of doing an application and having a move out and taking applications. And my goal is to actually have enough applications before the open house that I could possibly even have the place rented before the open house even gets here. That's my goal. And then that way you just eliminate all of that. You eliminate being there, hanging out for a couple of hours, weird people showing up. You just eliminate that whole thing if you can rent the property before the open house even comes around. So that's my preference. I hope that later today and tomorrow, as I go through these applications, that I'll be able to choose someone and then just offer them the unit. I've already talked with the couple that's moving out. And I said, can I show it to some folks early? And they said, absolutely. Just let them know because most of their stuff is boxed up already. We already have everything lined up with our rehab team. We already know who's going to clean the carpet. We know who's going to touch up the paint. We already know how all of that is going to come to play. And so, and I have all of the dates. I have everything plugged in and the right dates for everything. The carpet cleaning and the refrigerator cleaning and the oven cleaning and all. Now, some of us do our own, and I do too occasionally, but lately I'm trying to manage my properties more than actually do all of that. And so I do have a crew that does all of that. I've got a gal that helps me clean even the bed and breakfast a couple times a month. She comes in and does, you know, the fans and the windows and all the stuff that I don't do between every single guest. And so she, the cleaning business is what she does. And so I just let her know when I have a move out, and she just goes down for a day and cleans whatever move out. And then I have a separate company that I use for carpet cleaning. And then when we do our walkthrough, I can determine whether I think I'm going to have to replace carpet or not, or whether it's cleanable. And sometimes it's borderline. Sometimes I think, well, it's worth it to me to pay to have someone clean it first, let it totally dry, see what it looks like. And then I might still decide to replace a room here and there. I use the same color of carpet in all my units. I use the same color of paint in all my units, and I use all of the same appliances in all my units, right down to my bathroom fixtures. I have a standardized look, and that way everything is interchangeable. So if I get into a pickle, you know, and somebody's refrigerator is not working and I've got an empty unit that has a refrigerator, I can just have my maintenance guy, you know, swap them. And that way I'm not in the throes of waiting for something. And these days they say that the waiting time for appliances and dishwashers and all of that is weeks out. So it's hard to flip a unit, you know, right away when you have to wait for all that stuff. So anyway, the point in all of this is to get your systems in place. And I kind of want to go around and share. I have one more story to share before we share some other stories. I may have the big stories here, one with my guy getting held up by gunpoint. The other one, we all know Chris. This is a closed mastermind group, so I'll share some names. Chris Utter and his wife, Becky. Congratulations, by the way, to Chris. He's not on today because they had a brand new baby boy named Forrest, and he is in NICU, and they think he might get to come home today. They're not sure, which is why Chris isn't on. But anyhow, if you remember, Chris had three rentals. He had the duplex on the west side, and then over in Blacklick, he had the split level, for those of you that got to tour those properties when he bought those. Well, all three of those units, the duplex and the split level, all three are rented, but the rent didn't come in for the split level here in November. And they're kind of a new couple, but it was the mom and the dad. They had an 8-year-old little girl, and then grandma lived with them. And if you remember, that split level had that great basement area that the tenants turned into like a mother-in-law suite. And so the grandmother was in that basement area, and Chris had added a bathroom down there. And so it was working out really well. And then the rent didn't come in, but he had a little maintenance issue that he had to go take care of. And of course, you know, Becky went into labor early, and they're all, you know, at the hospital with the baby, and she was way early. And so the baby was in intensive care. And so, you know, this rental just really wasn't on his radar right at that moment. But he thought, you know, I really need to get over there and, I don't know, get the leaky faucet fixed or whatever it was. So finally, he gets a break in his schedule, and he's working full time. a regular full-time job. So anyhow, he gets a break in his schedule. He goes over and grandma answers the door and he says, oh, I'm here. I want to fix the leaky faucet. She's like, okay, come on in. Here it is. And he says, by the way, he said, I just want to mention, he said, I didn't get all of the rent this month. And he said, I was just wondering, you know, what the plan was. And she was like, oh, you haven't heard. And he's like, haven't heard what? And she's like, they got arrested and the little girl is with, I don't know, Aunt Matilda or something. And she said, it doesn't look good. And he said, what happened? Because he said their backgrounds came back clear. Their work history was great. He said he really liked this couple. Everything looked amazing. And he said, what happened? And she said, I don't know, but it doesn't look good. That she didn't seem to know anything. So he gets back to his office and he calls me and he goes, what do I do? And I said, have you looked up on the actual, court site, you know, the municipal court, Franklin County, have you looked up to see if there's, you know, an arrest record? And he goes, no, how do I do that? Well, I do a lot of my own background checks. So I said, I happened to be in my office when he called me and he was in his office, but he was working, see, and he was behind in work because he's been out with the baby and all this. So I said, let me look it up. So while I was sitting there, I just opened up Franklin County Municipal Court and their names are this long. I couldn't spell them. So he had to spell the name for me. And so I entered it in real time as he was spelling the name, I put it in. And the husband was arrested for rape and the wife was arrested. I don't know, what is the next charge down? But anyway, you get my point. And they removed the little girl from the house. We don't know what happened. And all I know is that they were taken in. We don't know that they've had a court date. We don't know anything yet. So so now the grandmother wants to stay because she says, I really don't want to upset their whole apple cart. Because she said, if this whole thing blows over. And of course, then there's an ex-husband who is the real dad of the little girl. And so we don't know, you know, if they moved away to get away from him and nobody knows. And the grandmother doesn't know. And she says, I'm just hanging out here. And she's not very savvy when it comes to technology. So she didn't even know how to use a cell phone or whatever. So she didn't know how to pay the rent on Inago, which we all teach, you know, to have your rent paid on Inago. And so he's now trying to figure out how he can work with this grandmother because she said, well, if they come home, she said, I don't want to like get rid of their furniture and move and downsize. And then all of a sudden, and so we don't know anything. We don't know whether they've lost their jobs. We don't know whether their jobs put them on leave. We don't know whether they're still in jail waiting trial. We don't know whether somebody's bailed them out and they just didn't go back. We have no idea. And Chris has no idea what's going on. And he's got this brand new baby boy that's ready to come home. And so, yeah, so his world is totally turned upside down. But see, we need to be prepared for this kinds of things. So he said, what do I do? And I said, at the end of the day, the only thing you can do is fulfill your end of the lease. And I said, so, you know, even then I said, you have to ask yourself, and this is where we should look at our leases. Is there something in your lease that says what you do if there's property abandoned? Wonder if the grandmother takes her stuff and moves on and just leaves their stuff. He has to be prepared for that. And he doesn't know where they are. They're not paying. And at the end of the day, he did not do this. This isn't something he did. And even if they've been accused, and they're not guilty, which, you know, we're not guilty till we're proven guilty in a court of law. So who knows? Somebody could have said something about them that's not true. We don't know. Nobody knows. But he has to fulfill his end of the lease. And so if you don't have something in there as to what to do if somebody abandons property, that's something you should probably revisit, because when you least expect it is when situations like this seem to pop up. And this is what managing your property is all about. And so at this point, you know, he just has to be prepared at whatever's going to happen. Now, he's trying to help the grandmother by giving her resources that she can tap into, because she's on limited income and she does not have the money to stay there to pay the utility bills and that size of a house. So she does definitely needs to downsize. And so he is giving her referrals over to agencies that can help her. And he has helped her navigate just a tad because he doesn't want to get involved. He doesn't want to, you know, get, he doesn't want to insert himself into a situation that has nothing to do with him. And so at this point, he helped her navigate who the attorney was, which it showed on the municipal court site, so that she at least had somebody to call to find out what was going on, so that she would know, you know, so that she was able to make her choices on what she needed to do, you know, her decisions. So anyway, those are the kinds of things that are happening out there. The reason my little couple is moving is it's two gals, and they are a couple, and they are living in my house. And the one girl's father came to stay with them, but they're from West Virginia. And every time he had a doctor's appointment, they had to drive him back to West Virginia. And finally, the aunt over there said, him living with you isn't working because all his doctors are here for whatever his health condition is. She says, why don't you let him live with me? And they said, well, that's okay if he wants to do that. And he agreed. And, but anyhow, as that, as the days unfolded, he had a pretty severe stroke. Now the aunt is not able to take care of him the way she thought she could, and she now needs help with him. So these two gals who are partners are now moving to West Virginia to be closer to the aunt, and the aunt's going to help them with their little girl, and they're going to help the aunt with the dad. And so anyway, and so that's why they're moving. And they were probably my favorite tenants. They took extremely good care of the property. They were always very good at communication. They were always very good at paying their rent. And we're really sad to lose them as tenants, but we understand that, you know, life gets in the way, and we all have situations that we have to handle. And they just felt that they wanted to be closer to the one girl's dad and take care of him. So we get that. So anyway, I hope to get another tenant as good. And Chris is hoping to get his little boy home so that he can then start working with this grandmother and get another good tenant in his house. But he has to decide, you know, how that's all going to play out. And in the meantime, there's no cash coming in, and he has a mortgage on that one. And so anyway, that's what we all have to handle. So I want to hear some other stories. I know Adrian has his house ready to go. He just put his ad out on Craigslist, and he has inquiries coming in, and folks are asking, and he is getting ready to collect some applications, and we have an open house scheduled for Adrian. So if anybody wants to see an open house, I am doing one on the 20th, and Adrian is doing one on the 21st, which I'm going to help him with. So if anybody wants to see an open house, if you haven't been a part of that, you're welcome to join either one of us for open houses. So Adrian, are you at a place where you can chat for a minute and tell the folks how has your ad come together and how's that working for you?
Hello?
Yes, we hear you.
Okay. How you doing?
Good.
It's pretty much, I've just been following lead of any certain question I wanted to know. I asked your help or any of the members' help. So that's pretty much been it, you know. So
now he did his ad on Craigslist, and he did not have an application process. My application is on my website, so folks can do it electronically. That's why I'm getting applications early. And you can use Inago, and you can put your application process on Inago. Tammy and David, are you using Inago for your applications?
Yes, we are.
Okay, so those come right into your inbox when somebody fills out an application. Are you also doing your background checks on Inago?
So our policy, or I guess our procedure, is to take applications free for the tenants, mm-hmm, or applicants first through Inago, and then we kind of do our own preliminary background check. And for whoever qualifies, then we have them submit through Inago for the whole background check, where it costs $35, I think it is, for the whole background check.
Perfect. I get that. And so as this open house unfolds for Adrian, we'll do the same thing. Now, he did not have an application. He didn't even have a paper application. So I helped Adrian with some examples, and he has actually done a great job of creating an application on a Google form under Google Docs. And that way, once he sends that link out, folks are like, hey, can we apply early? He can just forward them that link. And when they fill that out, it automatically comes right back into his inbox, into his email. And so he's actually just using, Google Docs and using the assessment form in Google Docs. So that works really well as well. There's all kinds of ways that you can do it electronically like that, so that, folks don't have to like run and meet them. And that's the whole point. Adrian's working a full-time job, and so he doesn't have to run over there and show the unit and, you know, and get applications out and back and forth. And all of this can be done electronically, and you can show it just in the open house environment. So share with us anything that you want to share, Adrian, about what was your frustration. And I know you had some help on getting your unit ready. So thanks to everyone that helped Adrian with that. We've all done our little piece there to try to help him get this unit filled. And so, Adrian, what's been your biggest frustration?
This is really being overwhelmed and don't know what to do. But like I said before, I asked your help or the members help for anything like that. Like every time I think I'm done, I was told time this morning that it's always another surprise. As long as I don't get none of that, I should be fine.
I get it. And you heard some surprises that some of our members are getting, like Chris with the couple that got arrested. That was a huge mm-hmm. surprise. So there's always surprises out there, but just know that you're running a business and that's just what running a business is. There's always going to be surprises and things that go on, and you have to take it in stride. I have one house that has a boiler type furnace, a boiler type heat system, where a water line runs around the baseboards on the entire house. So if the heat goes off and the pipes freeze, it trashes the entire house because the water runs everywhere. There's not just a leak. There's like thousands of leaks because the water line runs around the extremity of the entire house. Anyway, that furnace is out. And so what we did, we had some foresight and knowing that that was an issue. You can have the boiler out, you can have the electric out, so there's numerous things that could happen there. But one of the backups that we put into that house is we added baseboard electric heat throughout that house, a couple of those in every single room as an auxiliary type heat. And so this just happens to be that the boiler's not working. It's not that the electric is off. So in this case, we still have heat in the house. So it's going to cost the tenants a little more to run those electric baseboard heaters than it was the gas boiler, but they're not without heat. And then we even have a gas fireplace in the basement of this house that we can light with a lighter and not have the electric start on it. And so they could even start a flame in that actual fireplace with an actual gas. It's an actual gas, type heat, and that will heat under on the main floor. So that'll heat all the plumbing, so they won't freeze any pipes. So anyhow, there's three types of heat in that house. We can have gas only. We can have the boiler that requires gas to kick on the heat, or we have electric baseboard heaters. So there's three types of heat in that house. And then if all else fails, I have kerosene heaters in my basement. For those of you that don't know this, I actually have 10 kerosene heaters at my house, and in my garage, I have miniature barrels of kerosene. They're safe, trust me. They're in the approved containers. And if we had, I don't know if any of you remember this, some of you I'm sure do, where a few years ago we had that ice storm come through and everything, the electric was out for like 11 days in some places. And so it didn't matter if you had gas heat, your furnaces without electric wouldn't kick on. And so we had those kerosene heaters. Now, folks couldn't stay. You don't want to sleep with kerosene, but we did have kerosene heaters to where we could put a kerosene heater in the basements or under most of the plumbing in 10 of our properties at one time. And we simply went to Rural King in Circleville and bought those kerosene heaters when they were on sale with the little miniature barrels of kerosene. So we did that as a backup. And again, it's unlikely that we would have 10 houses without power all at the same time. But what you don't want is a major water damage because all your pipes froze. And last but not, and again, the power company, they start to try to restore power right away. But you just need to be prepared. And at the end of the day, oftentimes your power is only off a day or two. And so you don't need to worry about pipes freezing. The house just doesn't cool down that fast that it would freeze pipes in a day or two. But like the time when we were out for 11 days, it started to get serious. And that's when we said, we're not going to be hanging out here again if we have this many properties without power. So just know there's some things you can do to be proactive. So that's all I'm saying is just be proactive in some of these areas, especially with winter coming. They're telling us it's going to be a colder winter than most. And so just kind of be prepared. So Adrian, what is your biggest win so far?
Just completing everything when I posted the property on Facebook Marketplace and Craigslist. I've been getting a lot of offers, but I've been getting like over 50 offers regardless to the house, but only one completion of the application. Yeah.
Okay. Now, what you're going to want to do before your open house is make sure you get in front of a computer and that you have an ink cartridge and print off some copies of that application. I recommend you have about 20 copies of that to take to your open house.
Yeah, at least she gave me she also has like a screen of an application. I was going to use that to print off documents for the open house.
Okay, because you're going to want to be prepared for that. So, yeah. Perfect. This is wonderful. Adrian decided we looked at was it Rent-A-Meter? And we decided to take the median rent in that neighborhood of $850 for a two-bedroom. And he will, as soon as he gets it rented, he's going to have a positive cash flow of $550. And so, that'll change his budget just a bit. Now, I recommend, Adrian, that you bank some of that in case you have a major repair, then you're not having to borrow or dip into your savings and put that back for a furnace or roof or something and save a few months of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm planning to touch a little of that. So
very good. And then at some point you'll have enough for a down payment on a second property.
Yes.
Absolutely. And that's what I did. I saved my pennies that I didn't need. And I put down a down payment for that new condo right there between Whitehall and Columbus. And so that one is in a positive cash flow as soon as I closed on it. So that's kind of fun. So let's go around. What is new with David and Tammy? Give us a frustration and give us a win.
Any frustrations?
Tammy says.
Apparently I'm the frustration. I saw that look.
Go ahead.
So, well, we don't. Trying to think of what interesting stories we have. Nothing that keeps up with Chris or even, big move out. So everybody is still staying put. I am in the middle right now going through and doing maintenance checks on all the units. So they have kind of tricked me into cleaning a few clogged drains for them for free since I'm already out there.
Oh, like, by the way, since you're here,
yeah. So I've been sure to let them know that, per your lease, a clogged drain is your responsibility. And what I really ought to be doing is calling a plumber and charging that back to you. So I'm doing you a favor. Don't expect this every time. But really, it's just that opportunity to get into all of them, check the furnace filters and the smoke detector batteries and make sure that there isn't any major issues going on that they just haven't let us know about. So far, fortunately, everything's looking pretty good. Did get a question today though from the tenant who I was going through their apartment and I wanted to ask the mastermind group. He was wondering about the furnace duct cleaning. Whose responsibility would that be?
Well, my guess is it would be his. Because if that's not something that's generally, it depends on whether that's in your in your system, when you do a flip, do you generally clean the ductwork between tenants?
I've never done a flip. I can't tell you.
Okay. Think about whether you want to make that a standard policy or not. If you make it a standard policy, then you could pay for one cleaning. If that's going to be your move-in policy on your checklist, that things have been painted and the blinds are touched up and the carpet's clean and the ductwork has been clean, you know, if that's part of your move-in checklist, then you might decide to go ahead and add that for this tenant. But if that's not going to be on your move-in checklist, then you would tell them that that's not on the move-in checklist and that they're certainly welcome to do that.
Okay.
And you can even give them a referral. There's a lot of Groupon coupons out there that they can have it done rather inexpensively.
And he was actually prepared to take that on finding somebody himself if that was the ruling. I just wasn't a thing, an item I considered before. So I told him I'll have to check with my advisory committee.
Perfect. And so just think about how you want to handle that and decide if you want to make that part of your move-in cleaning list. At least she has a guy who is good and very inexpensive. So, and we may have some already in our resources in the Happy House Hunters membership site. But Elise, if you will, shoot your guy over to me, his name and number or whatever, and I'll make sure I put him in the resource list if he's not already there.
Okay. So what is the typical cost of this? It's a two bedroom, it's an up down duplex, it's a two bedroom upstairs apartment, so you know, fairly small. What is the typical cost for vent cleaning? I have no idea.
Is his furnace in like inside his unit?
Yes.
So, and his duct work just goes inside his unit? It's not like he's coming up from the basement through everything else.
No, it's
Elise says hers was $70 a half. She's got a duplex. And I just had my big house done because, of course, running the bed and breakfast, and I paid $150 for the whole house.
Okay, that's not bad.
But I did mine on a Groupon. So, again, there's some Groupons out there, you know, that can save you some money.
Okay.
Is that helpful?
It is helpful. Yes, thank you.
Okay, so what is a big win for you guys?
Want to talk about wheeling?
We are in the process of buying a new property.
Yay! Tell us about it.
It's in Lancaster. It's a duplex right at the edge of the historic district. So.
Yeah, it's a giant, it's another up-down duplex, but this is, both units are two bedroom, but they each also have kind of like an auxiliary room, an extra room.
Okay.
I mean, it's a pretty monster house.
1,200 square feet per apartment.
Okay. Now, is this the one that you say you're going to have to paint the outside?
Yes.
Now, of course, weather is not in your favor if you close on that one. So you might have to wait till spring, depending on how the weather unfolds.
Well, so our contractor did actually check with the city. And it looks like we will be allowed to side the house, which would be my preference.
Okay.
The house right next door, they call it an American four square is the style. So, but our four square has been added onto. So now it's, I guess, a big four rectangle. the house right next door is of the same style and it has been sided.
Okay.
So. Choose a different color, but I like the way the one next door looks. So I'd like to get this one done just the same way.
Yeah. And again, the weather, we'll have to see if we get some breaks here where it's warm enough to get out and do that. So we'll have to see how it plays out according with your closing. But I wouldn't hold up doing the inside and getting it rented for that.
Well, so that's the other thing that we have to decide on. We're also considering making it a short-term rental.
Uh-huh.
And looking at a couple of options there, one would be to do a long-term tenant upstairs, short-term tenant downstairs. My preference, I mean, I really could go either way. I thought it would be nicer to not have our long-term tenant have just a variety of people coming and going above him or her. So
I get it.
But
Now you're check with the city to make sure that that is zoned correctly to do a short-term rental.
Yeah, we're started poking around online to do that, but we haven't spoken with the city yet.
You don't want a cease and desist order after you get, you know, 6 months worth of bookings on the books and then get a cease and desist letter and not know what to do with your guests that are already booked.
Well, we do know that there's a short-term rental just like two houses away. You can see it from the window. So at least within the area, there are short-term rentals, but you know, we haven't specifically asked about this house and what the process to get approval is.
Okay, because I know in Columbus, the zoning is that they are allowing properties that you do not live in, that you are allowed to short-term rent them as long as you get the license or the certification, right. There's a certification letter, I think, that they send out. But in Canal Winchester here, you have to live in the residential property. You cannot short-term rent one that you don't actually live in or own. And so, and that's what the Ohio Revised Code says. So it depends on whether a city or municipality has given their own version of that in addition to the Ohio Revised Code. So in Canal Winchester, they're sticking to the code.
Yeah. Lancaster definitely blesses short-term rentals.
Good.
We're allowed to do it, but we don't know. Are there other specifics that, yeah.
Good. And I've looked in Logan several times, and Logan definitely blesses short-term rentals. They said they do not have any policy against it in Logan because of all of that Hocking Hills traffic. Sure. And the town of Logan is enjoying all of the vacationers spending money there. So
it desperately needs people anything to get people into the town of Logan.
Yeah. So they embrace it. So again, just do your due diligence there to be sure. So that is definitely a win. So congratulations, you guys.
Thank you.
So congratulations to Adrian getting his unit ready to go. And I see Adrian had his hand up. Do you have a question, Adrian?
Yeah. When I turn the heat on in my property, every room is pretty much feels warm except for the master bedroom. Should I get the vent clean for that?
Well, first of all, just make sure down in the basement that your vent is connected. Sometimes the vents have a tendency to pull apart a little bit. Just make sure that it hasn't pulled apart somewhere and that the heat's actually getting there. And then make sure that the vent itself is open in the room.
Yeah. No, it is open.
Okay. Is it getting any heat at all or no?
Yeah, it is. Is this not getting as much as the rest of the house?
Now, it could just be the way your ductwork is. It might not have anything to do with cleaning it. It could just be the way the ductwork runs down in the basement. And if that's the furthest one away from the furnace, sometimes the air just kind of cools off before it gets that far. You can increase some heat in one room by closing down a couple of vents in another room. So if you have a couple of rooms that are too hot, close those vents partway and see if you don't get more heat in that master.
Okay.
Try that first.
All
David,
right.
Am I on the right track?
Yeah, I was just lip syncing. That's a good suggestion.
Good. All right. Andorra, I think you're working, but let me ask you, what is your biggest, I know you're in the middle of a big rehab. What is your biggest frustration and what is a recent win? You're on mute.
For some reason it wouldn't unmute. Biggest win this week is probably just seeing things take shape already. You know, that it's been a while. I mean, if I could post pictures on here, I would, but I'd have to change. You know, it's Tammy and David came over to look at it, and they were like, "Oh, what did you guys think?" This you saw it before we tore out the ceiling, though, and the walls. It's a big project. Let's just put it that way.
it's a very interesting house with lots and lots of potential.
Yes, that's a good way of putting it. Yes, it's got a lot. So today I have the basement people there, and they're going to reinforce the walls and then put gravel in the basement and then tidy up some of the wire. Then upstairs, I've got the drywall guy there putting back some walls. I've got an electrician there who is adding the one technician or electrician that I hired. He put the switch on the wall that we told him we were going to tear down. So then that meant we had to rework it. And that's always fun. And that's, that goes to my point. I know this is where I know sometimes people will differ, but if you aren't there and they do it wrong, I mean, I highly recommend checking in on the projects. And I know some people have different views on that, but I can promise you that if you don't check on it, things will go wrong. And you really do have to kind of, especially when you're spending thousands of dollars, I have a full-time job. So I have to go down in the evening and just look to see, okay, this is what I asked to have done. Did it get done? You know, because if you don't do that, I promise you 9 times out of 10, I think Tammy and David, you've had similar situations where you've had contractors, and if you don't check on it, it doesn't always get done the way you wanted it to. But Kathy, you're the luckiest one I know. You said your stuff gets done regardless of whether you check on it, right?
Well, you have to have a shakedown crew. I've been through a lot of contractors. If I'm using somebody I haven't used before, I check on them. But if it's somebody that they know me, they know what I want, they know what I like, they know how I like to do things, and they've done work for me quite often, then I can kind of turn them loose because they kind of already know what I want. But I liken it to hairstylists. When somebody comes in and says, you know, I want my hair cut like this and shaped like that, well, their vision and the stylist's vision might be two different visions on what that is. And so I think that happens a lot of times with contractors. When you say, I want this to look like that, they picture it differently. Yeah. So they think they're doing what you want. And so, yeah, if it's somebody that I haven't worked with before, then yeah, I check on them. But again, sometimes, and I've had this happen, sometimes the contractor has had a better idea than what I thought. You know, because maybe they've done it several times and they're like, well, have you thought about doing this? And I'm like, no. And they're like, let me show you what that's going to look like. And sometimes I'm like, oh, I like that better. Let's do that. So I think you just have to kind of flow with it, you know.
My biggest recommendation is, and I know we've talked about this a lot, is literally putting every single solitary thing down in writing. And even if you're not working with a company, especially, or even if you are working with a company, make sure that you, if you're doing demo, that you have a line item for demo, that you have a line item for cleanup, what you want done with the trash. I mean, everything. I mean, you would think a lot of these things are assumptions, but they are not. So I would say that's a big thing. I'm working with a guy who does a fantastic job with drywall. He's came back into the Ohio area, so he's wanting an opportunity, but literally he doesn't have access to a computer. He doesn't have invoices. It's phenomenal with drywall though. So, and then, you know, initially we had a little bit of a rocky start. I think if you remember, he didn't show up, or then I forget what it was. It was something like that, but he's actually turned out to be probably one of the better contractors. But we just sit down and I'm like, okay, let's talk about the scope. That does take time. I mean, unfortunately, I don't have the money to really hire a project manager. I know that's an option, you know, if you don't want to project manage it yourself. But if you do, just go to like a Sam's Club or a Walmart, get a sales invoice and literally write on that sheet and then try to line item it out. You know, I don't like to pay by the hour. And I've got this book just recently off of Amazon, and I have to say I really, really like it. And they don't recommend, unless you have a project manager on site or you've done work with a person before, you don't really want to pay by the hour, because you're just setting yourself up to constantly question them. And they even said that at the conference, you know,
because some of these contractors can really stretch it out.
Yes.
And make it look necessary.
Or they can be, here's another thing too. And you know, again, I don't want to have to monitor someone's cigarette breaks. You know what I mean? Or how many times they go to the bathroom, or if they're sick. What I want to be able to say is, here's the job, here's what I want done, and here's the time frame that I'd like to have it done. Can you meet this time frame, and can you do these things? And what is your price? And I know that there's, from what I'm learning, sometimes you're going to lose us as the person, because maybe it was higher than it would have been if you did it by the hour. And sometimes you're going to win, because sometimes it may take longer. But I'm always willing to pay a little bit more if it does take longer and there's good reason. Because when you're opening up these older homes that are pre-1900s and nothing's square in the house, floors are unlevel, you kind of realize, okay, yes, I can believe that. But for the most part, I like to work with people who understand, you know, if I'm working with a guy that just does floors, I feel like if he has years of experience under his belt, he should know better than I how many days it's going to take him. That's just my opinion. Another school of thought, if you have construction done, at the conference, they recommend that you don't pay for the actual equipment or products out of your pocket, because again, you're setting yourself up for failure, because their thoughts are that you're going to constantly be watching that product go off site. And I'll give you a great example. How many of you know what 12-2 wire is and how much it costs?
I know what it is, and I know it's very expensive.
Yes, I just bought a roll of 25 foot, and guess how much it cost? Anybody willing to?
Haven't priced it lately. What do you think, David?
25 feet, I'll go, oh my goodness. I was just looking at this just, you know, a couple of months ago. I'll go $54.
$78.96. And then wow. To the, yeah, it's crazy. So again, here's the thing is I'm not on the job site. I can't be on the job site. I don't want to have to manage, nor do I want to know what to do with that extra stuff when it's done. I just want one price with everything in it, like line item, what you're going to give me in materials. And then they recommend at the conference, they recommended, like, for example, if the person you're working with, if they use Home Depot or Menards, that they should be able to provide you that line item and say, okay, this is what I'm going to get. This is what I'm going to do. So then you have a good idea, because I don't want to manage that stuff. And it doesn't set you up for a very good relationship to say, hey, what happened to my wire? You know, you said you only needed this, and because you'll see that stuff grows legs and it just walks off the site and nobody ever knows what happened to it.
Never. I get it.
And honestly, with drywall, what are you going to do with drywall when you're done with the job? Do you really want to pay for all that? And then they buy extras because they have to. Where are you going to store it? You know, so, but I will tell you an excellent book that I have found. It was written in 2019. So you got to keep that in mind. And it's, I love Bigger Pockets, and it's called Estimating Your Rehab Project. And it takes it, Estimating Rehab Cost. It takes it right down. I don't know if you guys can see this book. No, you can't. Shoot. You can find it on Amazon. It's called The Book on Estimating Rehab Costs. It tells you what a door should cost. It tells you what drywall should cost. So just as a recommendation. Also, I didn't think of this, but I was asking people at the conference, hey, how do you find good contractors? I mean, this is priceless. Sometimes they go to trade schools or they go to Home Depot and go back by the service desk and ask them for different contractors that they know. Because the people in Home Depot and Lowe's, they develop a relationship with these guys coming in and out. And then it's also, you know, about developing a relationship with your Home Depot store. It sounds silly, but I think that's important as well.
And for all of you folks that have maybe had an opportunity to go look at the actual course that's attached to your mastermind, there is a whole section in there about finding contractors. And that's some of the tips that are in there.
Yeah.
In the course. Yeah.
But I think that there, you know, there's just a lot of good ways of doing that. Another thing, if you're willing to accept a little bit of risk, there's an organization in Lancaster. And what they do is they have people that kind of like a halfway house. Now, hear me out. I know it sounds a little crazy, but you pay the minimum wage. You don't pay them directly. But a lot of these guys have trades. I just found out about this one recently, and I can't remember the name of the place. It's in Lancaster.
My girlfriend uses them.
Okay.
But she does have to supply their transportation.
Yes. And so she has to bring them back.
She has to go pick them up, take them to the job site. They do the job. Then she has to take them back to the house.
Yep. And really for me, I mean, I could only be able to do that on the weekends. I mean, I don't have time to do it during the work week. But I guess what I'm trying to say is you can be creative in how you get your work done. There's all kinds of ways. Another thing I'm finding out is if you go out to, surprisingly, the cream isn't always the best way to get workers. I'm not even gonna believe this. In Fairfield County, it's called In the Know in Fairfield County. That has been my gold mine. And it really just depends on where your property is. Mm-hmm. So for Elise, I know you're in Reynoldsburg, so you might want to join your in the know in that area. And Adrian, are you in Columbus?
Yeah.
Okay. So for you may want to do the same, you know, if you're looking for different things. Is that, I know on the cream, I remember a couple weeks ago when you had put out and you were asking about a, you know, getting the house, I want to say power sprayed. You know, you got a lot of feedback on that. But I'm thinking if you do the in the know, and I'm also finding out another great resource is Next Door Neighbor. How many are you familiar with Next Door Neighbor? Okay. That's another great way to post something in it. And right now around Christmas time, Thanksgiving time, guess what? A lot of contractors are a lot more apt to be available during this time, is what I found over the years. Now, again, that was post-pandemic. And they would do things a lot cheaper. But I still think there might be some opportunities there to get people to do things, you know, like things that like interior painting and things of that nature. So just wanted to put that out there. So that's kind of been my win this week, is just starting to see the walls come up. And of course, like I said, there's always going to be negatives. I mean, I'm just kind of going with it. I'm going to just not even go into the negatives, because it just, there's nothing. Everybody's different.
I get that. And Nora, those are some great tips and tools and places to connect. I really appreciate you sharing all that. And if you have some good ones that you've discovered, please let us know and we'll put them in the resource section, because that helps, especially new folks like Adrian or maybe Elise that haven't done this for a while, or even David and Tammy when they're looking for something. Not only do they see the resource, but they see who referred that resource, and they can actually pick up the phone and call whoever referred it and say, what was your experience with this person? We really need to hire somebody to do this. And that's very helpful.
I've got one last tip, two last tips.
Okay.
So one of the things is I decided to gut the kitchen and go with new cabinets. And I know you guys probably already know this, but go out to Facebook Marketplace. I didn't want the typical like plywood. Oftentimes, if you go to your local hardware store, that's what you're getting, is this pressed wood. Well, I literally went out one night on Facebook Marketplace, and I thought, I'm going to look for cabinets. Somebody's going to have something out there posted. I found solid oak wood cabinets, and it was somebody in Pataskala, and they were selling all their cabinets mint condition for $250. Mm-hmm. And then he had this huge island that he was going to sell for $250. I mean, like I said, solid wood, mint condition. And then of course, you know, I don't have a truck. So it's always about, hey, do you have a truck? Can you, you know, would you be willing to, yeah, I'll do it for $100, to me, which was worth it. So here I got whole kitchen cabinets for $600, and he came and I even talked my husband into coming down to help unload, with which was an act of God, if anyone knows that. I mean, he was willing to go down and help. So that's one tip. My second tip is that also I got appliances off of Facebook Marketplace last year in 2020, when I was trying to find different appliances for the other house that I sold. But I want to make one note to that. I know, Kathy, you said that you use the same refrigerator brand for all of yours. And I thought a refrigerator was a refrigerator was a refrigerator, meaning if it said 20 cubic feet, that everything was the same. So know this, the newer refrigerators are thicker. So what happened is, when my tenant told me, oh, my refrigerator's out, I literally went out on Home Depot, looked for the same refrigerator. We had it delivered, and guess what? It wouldn't fit by a half of an inch. So not all refrigerators are the same. Even if you're going with the same brand, these new ones are a lot thicker. The backs of them are. So I had to have a guy come and take out a little piece of my countertop, and then he had to redo the plug. So just be, when you're measuring for your refrigerator, just because you think it's the same brand doesn't mean when it is delivered, it's going to be the same size and everything. Who knew? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And then here's my last tip. Columbus Liquidators up there on Refugee Road. Do you know that you can bargain with them?
I didn't know you could bargain. I've bought there before.
So it's kind of like a large, it's just a large group of people. And I didn't know. I thought you're the one that told me, Kathy, that you can bargain. I thought you're the one that told me, because I went up there.
No, I never bargained. Oh. I've shopped there quite a bit.
Okay, because I went up there and they had like a beautiful bathroom water, you know, for your, what do I want to call it? What is it? For your bathroom with the sink and everything's all together, the wood, what's it called?
The vanity, I mean, the whole vanity.
Vanity, I'm losing my mind. So I went up there, I mean, it was absolutely gorgeous. I had this beautiful marble top and it was like originally like $300. And I'm like, how about 250? Or how about 250? Or I said, how about 200? Because I thought I'm pushing it here. And he goes, no. And I'm like, well, what's the lowest price you'll take? So 225. So I was happy. I'm like, let's pack this baby up and get it in the car. But I didn't know that you could do that. But I thought you told me you could dicker with them on price.
I don't know, but I'm going to try it.
Well, here's the deal. So anything that's in there, you can just because it's just odds and ends of things, you know. And of course, Tom was with me and he walked away to the other side. So you have to be willing to be bold and just say, hey, you know, so how many people would be willing to do that? I think you would, Kyle. Okay.
I would be. And I like to go to the restores and I have good luck with cabinets at the restores. And we do ask oftentimes at the restore, if we see that there's one piece missing or one piece damaged, we might say, you know, would you take $50 to $100 less? And we, like you, Andora, we bought an entire Cherry kitchen for $256, I think, all the cabinet, everything. And it's beautiful. And we put it in a unit where it had no kitchen. And we were actually creating a 2-bedroom unit in a commercial space. And it now has it looks brand new Cherry kitchen.
Nice. And I also have to say, I have to give this to my aunt Mary, who gave me great negotiation skills when we used to yard sale. I used to go around with her as a kid and she'd always say that if something was 10 cents, how about 5? So I'm just saying, all someone can do is say no. That's all they can do.
Yep.
Or they can get violent. I don't know. That could be an option.
I love it. I love it. Thanks for all those tips. I love that. I love that. Yeah. And your house is coming along beautifully. And again, I think it's going to be amazing once you're all done with it. I know it's a process and it's frustrating going through the process, but it's going to be great.
I have a question of the day. Do you guys think epoxy countertops or granite countertops are more durable?
I've been doing this battle myself because I want to put brand new countertops in the condo in Florida. And then I want to short-term rent that when we're not there because we're allowed to after we've been there a couple of years and we're coming up on our anniversary where we can start using it as a short-term rental. And I want something that's really, really durable with, you know, short-term renters so that they don't pull a hot pan out of the oven and set it up there and ruin the countertop. And I've just been, I'm kind of leaning toward Corian.
See, Kathy, and you're talking about the place in Florida that you have, you're going to be, I think personally shocked how cheap granite is in Florida. I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised.
I like granite. I just don't know if it holds up as well. I guess I'm going for durability and looks.
So my understanding on these, the granite will hold up to your hot pan, but it's actually porous. So like, you know, somebody leaves a greasy spot on there, it's going to soak into the granite and it's always going to have a spot. If you're worried about hot pans, you're better off with granite because your epoxy or your man-made materials aren't going to hold up to those hot pans.
That's good to know because I'm looking at right now, I had invited Jonathan Green to your Happy House Hunters and his stuff. If you guys get an opportunity, it's Jonathan Green with the E on the end of Green. And if you go out there and look at his work for epoxy countertops, I mean, it's stunning. But when I look it up online, it says that granite is more, it will last a lifetime. And to David's point, Vandicated, yes, it's porous. Like, let's say you had a guest that spilled a glass of red wine and didn't clean it up. I don't know if you'll have it permanently. There's kind of ways to get off of it, but they said with care, you can do that. Now, we had quarry countertops in Florida. We didn't put them in. The previous owner did. And we rented ours out for 8 years and never saw any spots or any problems with it, Kathy. But we didn't pay for them either.
Right. We haven't decided. It's such a small kitchen that whatever we do, it's not going to be a huge expense because it's such a small area. I just want to do something that I don't have to maintain for a while.
Yep, I can understand that. But so that's kind of like I'm still trying to debate. I'm meeting him tonight down in Carroll to look at placement of cabinets and whatnot. And my brother-in-law, he's very good with putting things in. He goes, don't do epoxy. But I had to talk to this guy because he's saying that epoxy does last. But I will tell you, I have cement countertops downtown. And wouldn't you think that those would be extremely durable and never have to mess with them? They're not. And I'll tell you why they're not. You have to put this, it's like this, I don't know what you want to call it, like a glaze over top of it. And already it's peeling up.
Oh, wow.
So, that's only after 10 years. So if someone tells you to go for a concrete countertop and it has a glaze on it, that doesn't last. And a woman, I think the previous person who lived there put a plan on it so you could see right where she had that little wet ring. So, and again, you wouldn't think with a concrete countertop that that would be the case.
Well, concrete's very porous too.
True.
And again, I learned that from being in the salon industry because it has to have a non-porous floor in the salon. And we thought a cement floor was non-porous and we learned real quick it wasn't.
Yeah, but it's just all kinds of things that you kind of learn, I guess, on this. So, all right, I'm going to go back.
I don't know the answer. I don't know what's going to be the best for your countertops. But anyway, I'm going to follow that because, again, we're also trying to decide what we want to do. Let's get over to Elise. I know she's probably at work. Elise, what is your biggest frustration and what is your biggest win?
Hey. So biggest frustration right now is really just trying to figure out, you know,
how to keep managing it.
The last thing that I had happen was that my heat went out a couple of days ago. And I know I texted a couple of you just to kind of figure out what to do from there. It ended up just being a circuit board. Something was wrong with it. So they just had to replace that. But it ended up that it was the last week of my home warranty. So it covered probably 90% of the cost. So that was really cool. Like it only cost me maybe $75, $100, something like that.
Good.
But biggest win is really just having for it to be my first set of tenants and for it to be my first property. I really haven't had a lot of issues with it, to be honest. Like it's pretty nice. Most of the stuff is just cosmetic. So I haven't had like a bunch of, you know, crazy issues that have cost me a lot of money. Now, in the first part of this, if you've heard any of that, then yes, those were struggles. So anything after being conned out of $2,000 will be fine. So
I remember those days. Yeah, you had a rough start because you had so much coming at you and you were trying to rehab both sides. And I remember those. But so what you're saying now is your biggest win is that things have calmed down and now you're collecting the rent, you're getting the coffers filled back up and things are good.
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, this November 9th was the anniversary of me closing on my first house. So, you know, that was really cool. And for it to be at this point and really not have a whole bunch of issues. And then someone else wants to move in. So I might be able to raise the rent enough to cover the entire mortgage. So it'll be house hacking for maybe $10 a month for rent or mortgage.
Nice.
So that's kind of the next goal.
Nice. Okay, got to go to my reactions. Give her a little pom pom there. Give her a little heart.
Thank you. Oh, yeah, I've definitely just been relying on everybody. So I appreciate everyone's help.
Oh, Elise, we're just so happy because the whole idea is to actually put a little bit more cash in your pocket so that you too can head toward that freestyle living to do the stuff that you want to do, to have the time and the money to do whatever it is you want. So that's our goal for all of us, is to get to that freedom number. We're going to circle back around to Kyle. Kyle, I know you're in a little bit different situation than the rest of us, but what is your biggest frustration right now and what is your biggest win?
Well, I've got like, I guess it's kind of a win, something I'll share with you guys to maybe help you avoid a frustration and land a win. You know, we have to take continuing education every year to maintain our license. I'm a licensed real estate agent. And so I recently went through core ethics, 3 hours of core ethics. And one thing that they wanted to talk about, and Kathy, how you were talking earlier, how you just number your applications and 1, 2, 3, and just the first one that checks all your boxes is who you offer it to. You know, it's really important to have a standardized system in place like that, because with the market in such a fever pitch, both rentals and sales, anytime somebody's not getting picked, you know, they want a reason why, they want a scapegoat, they want to blame you. And so ethics violations and discrimination complaints have gone up, you know, skyrocketed over the last few years. And several actually news channels and several agencies have actually been sending out secret shoppers and testing people, landlords and real estate agents, to see if they're, you know, treating everybody just the same. So it's really important to take steps to protect yourself in doing that so you don't get burned. But something that came up in that class that was really interesting that I had always heard about but was never really sure about, somebody asked about, it's called Miss Murphy's exemption. I don't know if anybody out there has heard of Miss Murphy's exemption. It is a federal loophole to the Fair Housing Act. If you are a landlord and you are living in your unit, and it's a duplex, a triplex, or a fourplex, up to four doors, if you are living in that unit, in one of those units, you are exempt from abiding by the fair housing laws. You actually are allowed to discriminate. You are allowed to, you know, choose whoever you want to live in the unit with you. You're not allowed to advertise it that way, however. You can't do any discriminatory advertising, but in your selection process, you can discriminate just as much as you want to in that particular building. Now that law is a federal exemption, it's a federal loophole, but it does not apply in Ohio and a couple of other states because our state law is actually stricter than the federal law. So Miss Murphy's exemption is disallowed in Ohio, and I think maybe like California and New York are in a couple of other states too. But for the majority of the country, Miss Murphy's exemption does exist if you are going to own or occupy and live in four doors or less.
Now, I of course run a short-term rental in my home. I actually live here and I'm allowed to have in a residential house up to four bedrooms that I can rent out to short-term rental guests. And I can then sleep in the fifth one. So I'm allowed to have five rooms, no more than four that I have rented. Well, my house only has four. So I have one and I rent three. And I am allowed to discriminate. I'm allowed to say no animals, even if it is a comfort animal or a service animal. I'm still allowed to say no animals because I'm exempt from that because I live here. And so it's kind of in the same vein is what you're talking about, but a little different since it's a short-term rental instead of a long-term rental. But the law is in my favor if it's my home. And I can say for any reason that I feel uncomfortable with a guest and I don't have to accept them for any reason. I don't have to give a reason. I can just say I feel uncomfortable with them as a guest. And I'm allowed to do that. Now, I never have, but I'm allowed to. So anyway, any other comments? Because we are a little over our time again. This has been great conversation. I hope it's been helpful for some folks that we're all in different stages now. You know, some of us are moving faster and slower as we move through this process. So we're all in different stages, but I hope it's been very, very helpful. It has to me. Any other questions or comments?
We're going to get to do a boots on the ground on Dora's house when she gets all this work done?
Well, funny you should ask that. I was going to ask Andora if we could do our boots on the ground in December with her. And I just didn't know how far along she was or whether she was ready for us to do that.
When are you thinking in December? Because it just really depends. I'm hoping I get everything ready to go and ready to rent by December 1st, but it's not looking hopeful with next week being Thanksgiving, you know. They're shaking their heads no.
Yeah, December 1st is like in 2 weeks, sweetie.
Yeah, unless you guys want to see like literally a torn up house with no, well, it'll have walls and things like that. I mean, it's coming along. I'm hoping I get the kitchen in this upcoming week, but we'll see.
Well, our actual boots on the ground is scheduled for the 6th, December 6th. And so that's 3 weeks out.
You know what? I won't be able to go anyway because on December 6th, I have my dentist appointment right at 5. And that's like getting that changed is like an act of God.
No. What we normally do is, And my dentist appointment is on the 7th, the next day. What we do is we try to do boots on the ground that week. We try to, because oftentimes, you know, Kyle has to get us in somewhere. And so we can't always get the exact date and time. So my guess is it either could be later that evening or later that week, but you are going to try to be rented as quickly as you're done. You're going to try to get somebody in there to start having income.
Yeah. I'm being more realistic. It's looking more like a January 1st, but you're saying it could just be the December 6th date is when you guys could look at it.
It would be that week sometime, either later that same night or later that same week. But that's usually our boots on the ground is sometime that first week. And again, we move around a little bit because it depends on where we're getting in.
Okay. What about December 9th, which is a Thursday? I mean, what's the earliest you guys, because wouldn't you want to do it when it's somewhat light outside, like either by 4:30-ish?
And again, some folks can't get there that time. So it's whatever works for you and the majority of the group, because some folks are working and so it's hard for them to get there. We've been trying to do around 5 o'clock, but you're right. It starts to get, now it's dark by five with the time. And then we try to end up somewhere afterwards to eat dinner. And of course, there's a couple great places right there in Carroll. So
What do you guys think? I mean, is it just this group that would come or?
It's just the mastermind group. Yeah.
Okay. What do you guys think?
I'm open on Wednesday, the 8th. I'm totally open on that date and I can come at any time, but it just depends on, it just depends on what everybody else is doing that. Cause that, again, that's Christmas month. Although Wednesday's kind of an off day for parties and all that. So hopefully folks will have Wednesday available.
So on Wednesday, and I'm going to sound like a diva here, but I have my hair appointment and I'm not canceling okay. that. I'd rather cancel my dentist appointment than get my mane.
I get it.
Get my wig busted up. Even though this is my real hair, I always say my wig busted up. But
yeah. Let me ask you this. When you do your dentist appointment, is it going to be something that's going to, are you not going to be feeling well at the other end or is it?
Okay. I'm one of these weird people. I love going to the dentist. Isn't that weird? So I can do it that day, but here's the thing is it goes from 5 to 6. Hold on, let me see. Yeah, I mean, it's in Pickerington, so my dentist appointment's at 5, and it usually lasts a whole hour, because I just love getting my teeth cleaned, and you guys don't, I see you, David, and Tammy, don't be making fun of me. So, don't you think it's great to get your teeth clean, though? Don't you like taking your tongue
across? Tammy agrees with you. I think you're both crazy.
I know, but I love getting my teeth cleaned. Okay, so, yeah, I'm open. I wouldn't be able to get down there till like 6:30, though. I mean,
and we could do that because it's going to be dark at 5 or 6:30. So we could do that. That would give a chance for some of the folks that are working because it's going to be a little bit longer drive.
And I can also, if you guys are available on Thursday, I'm available on Thursday from like 4:30 on. But you may not be Kathy. I know your schedule.
Yeah, it really, I could make either one of those work. So we can talk about it and I'll post it and Dora and I will talk it over and then I'll post it for everyone. But if that's okay with you, we definitely could use yours as our boots on the ground and actually see what you've done and some numbers. If you had some numbers, that's huge for us as a group to know what it's costing you to do this rehab.
A small fortune. I've decided I may have to get a third job now.
I understand. Yeah, things are expensive. I put a new roof on one of my commercial buildings and I put it on one of my convenience checks because that's kind of my little hack on how I can let the renters pay for their own updates. And that property isn't cash flowing very well for the next 18 months.
Let's put it this way. I don't think my rehab and Carroll this year, for 87, it's like, I'm probably not going to recoup those costs until next year, but I know I will eventually. Right.
Yes. Yes.
And then this year,
my frame of mind is I try to recoup everything in 18 months. That's kind of my system. I try to recoup whatever I put into rehab in an 18 month period.
And I'll also realize too, that this year is a different strategy for me because I sold a property. I didn't do a 1031. So that's another thing. If you sell a property and you don't reinvest it into another property, then you've got to pay Uncle Sam capital gains. So I'm trying to offset that a little bit. And I also, my strategy is to put higher end finishes in this house. I'm trying. Now, who knows, you know, if that's really going to happen, but that's what I'm trying to do. So I can get more money out of it. You know, I was getting $1,100 per month out of it. And I'm hoping, well, we'll see. We'll see what I come up with. I don't know.
No, tell us, what are you thinking?
I'm not, well, I already have one person that's interested in it for $1,700. They keep coming around, but I don't, sometimes I think, let's just see what really happens. It's got a 2.5-car garage, a nice cedar fenced in backyard, but the bedrooms are like not that big, but that's why I'm trying to make up with it with two awesome bathrooms and, an awesome dining room and living room and kitchen. So don't be judging you guys when you come.
No. I get it. We're all learning. You know, again, Mark has always had the philosophy that you don't fix it if it isn't broken. And so he doesn't, you know, he only updates what has to be updated to get it rented again. And so he's always kind of right there in the middle with his rents. He never can command a higher rent because he doesn't put higher finishes in. Now the properties all look nice. They're nice and clean and, you know, everything looks great. But it might have Formica countertops and a vinyl kitchen floor. And so he never gets, you know, top dollar because he doesn't put the top dollar finishes in there. So no, we're all learning. And everybody has their own style. Everybody has their own taste. And I love it. I love that we're all so different. I love that. Dora and I will chat and we'll come up with a time.
Yeah. And it might be in like a major construction mode when you come, but hey, what better way to see the before, right? Up close and personal, touching that dust on the walls, on the floors. Smelling the smell of drywall dust.
I kind of like that. My dad was a builder and I grew up smelling sawdust. And so every time I get close to a work site, it feels like home. So
see, you get up really impersonal. And then guess what? I can maybe Tom Sawyer it. If anybody is there and wants to paint. No, I'm just kidding.
I love it. Okay. All right, folks, this has been great. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'll put the replay up in the site. And if you have some contractors that you're using that you've had a really great experience with, please, please, please send those over to me. It is definitely helpful because oftentimes we don't know that we need somebody in that field until we're desperate for somebody. And then going to the resource center is such a nice plus to have that where we can just tap in there and see who's used some folks before. And that's how I found my person for my boiler is I just went to the resource center to see who does boiler work. So that worked for me. So anyway, let me know if you have some folks you want me to add there. And Dora just sent me one. Yeah. She just sent me Leslie Robinson. So I'm going to be adding Leslie to the, what's the name of Leslie's company? Do you know?
Robinson Heating and Cooling.
Okay.
He's primarily out of Columbus. I mean, he'll come down to Carroll. He'll go to Canal Winchester. if Tom didn't have a friendship with him, he wouldn't come to Carroll. But like for the folks that are in Canal Winchester and Columbus, I mean, he's your guy. He's really good. And he'll even actually troubleshoot over the phone if you call him because he's so busy. I mean, he'll actually say, hey, have you tried this? Have you tried this?
You know. And sometimes that's what you need. Sometimes you just need to get it going again. And sometimes that's all you need.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that.
Yeah. He's a great resource for that. And all, as far as this next crew of contractors, you know, here's the thing, because some of our people that are contractors are actually on our Happy House Hunters site, right? I mean, they're actually members of the mastermind.
I don't know if they're members of the mastermind or not. Okay. Yeah, it depends. I had a list here in front of me. What did I do with it?
I guess what I'm saying is it has to be the circle of trust if we have actual.
Yeah.
Actual comments.
We have 20 members in the actual mastermind.
Okay.
Yeah, there's 20 members in the mastermind. Now there's a lot of folks that are that tap into the Happy House Hunters on our Facebook page. Mm-hmm. They're just part of the Facebook group, but they're not actually members of the mastermind. There's only 20 of us that are in the actual mastermind.
Okay.
And if you have any issues and you want to double check, ask me. I'll let you know if they're in the group. I mean, you know, if If you've had a bad experience with somebody, let me know.
And sometimes too, it's not necessarily, we're still human. We're not robots. So people go through different things. They may be good, but maybe, you know, I'm big on timing though. If you say you're going to do something in a certain amount of time, I'm very task oriented. So that's my expectation. So that's
the one. Well, as a landlord, you know, we've got to keep moving because we've got, you know, we've got applications out there and we've got folks committed to rent something. Yes. And yeah, so we've got to keep moving. I get it.
Yeah. And so that's my thing is I take that into account too. And I'll tell you what, another big thing, how cooperative are they? If they're difficult to deal with, I'd rather have somebody that's just average, you know, and that includes renters too. If they're not cooperative and they're a pain in the rear end, I would rather not have them, to be honest with you. I know that's terrible to say, but it's the truth.
Well, and you have to remember this too. Oftentimes it's how we make people feel.
Yeah.
So not only is it what we say and do on how we make our tenants feel, but sometimes it's what the tenants say and do on how it makes us feel.
Yes.
And so I have a gal right now, and again, this is a closed mastermind group. So, but I have a gal right now who is a tenant and she looked good on paper. Everything's good. She moved in, she's doing fine. And so it came time for us to do our twice a year inspections where we do the furnace filters. And so we call her up and we say, hey, you know, we're going to come by and she's in one of those houses that's got the steep staircase that goes down to like a cellar type basement. And it's just not a pretty place to go. And so we said, we'll go down, we'll change your furnace filter. We'll also bring the ladder. We'll change all your smoke detector batteries. We'll just make sure that you're good to go for the season. And she said, okay. So we get over there and I wasn't at the door yet. She didn't know I heard her say this. And she said, you need to tell Kathy to get it together.
Oh.
And I was kind of like, that's an interesting comment. I wonder what that means. Then she sees me and all of a sudden she's all very friendly. And so now she's struggling with her bank account and her rent has been not necessarily late, but she struggled because her bank at one bank, she was switching banks and then that one didn't get posted in time. And then her rent was right up to the wire and all of that. And again, you guys that know me know that I'm not like this, but I so badly wanted to say, you need to get it together. But of course I didn't. I'm like, it's fine. Just, I know that you're working on it. But anyway, it's how it makes people feel. And so it makes me feel like I don't want to jump over the moon for her. If she, you know, has a question or a complaint or whatever, it just makes me feel like I don't want to jump over the moon for her because she basically insulted me and just didn't realize that I was standing there when she said that.
Hey, so, Kathy, quick question for you while you're talking about this, you said that you go on site. Do you do it yourself? Do you go on site and change the furnace filters or do you have someone do it for you?
Depends on where I'm at. If I'm in Florida and it comes time, I have somebody do it. But if I'm around, that's such an easy thing
to do.
And sometimes I hate to pay somebody when it's something that very clearly I can do myself.
How much does that usually cost to go to the house to have someone do your furnace filters if you are in Florida and can't do it? Like, what's the typical pay rate for that?
It depends on who I use. Last year I was in Florida and I think it was like a $47 service call per unit. And it was worth it to me to not have to come back home and have to do it. So I just said, yeah, go ahead and bill me. And I think it was $47 per unit.
Okay.
Service call. Well, or per building, you know, I have a fourplex and it was 47 for the whole fourplex because they were there.
Gotcha. But if they had to go to different single family homes.
It was 47 for each single family. It was 47 for the duplex. It was 47 for the fourplex. But anyhow, it was 47 a property.
Okay. Is that somebody that you have on your site that will do that for that price?
You know, I'd have to look. I think it was Kent. And he's retired. And so he just fills in for me just if he has time. He does. And again, we all find these people. We all have these folks in our back pocket after a while. This is a guy that worked for the gas company. He's retired. He just does work on the side. But he and his wife love to do that primitive furniture, and they do these shows of so they'll load up all this primitive stuff and go to Indiana for the weekend to do a show. And so if he's doing a show, then I can't use him. But I think he did it for me last time because I was in Florida and he was available. He wasn't at a show.
Gotcha. My last question is, I don't know if this will be copyright infringement, but because I've noticed on other job for other groups that they're using, like if they had a book, I'm sorry, my dog decides to bark now, but in the book called Women in Real Estate Investors, she's uploaded some books on there. Are we able to do that for Happy House Hunters? The reason I'm asking is there's one for estimating home. It's a digital book. And I think it would be helpful for people to have, but is that copyright infringement, do you think, if I put that?
No, in? No. Okay. I cannot publish in our site from a book unless I can only publish so many sentences before it becomes copyright infringement. But if we post the Amazon link on where they get the book to where we link our membership out to Amazon to buy the book or to buy the ebook or buy the hard copy, however they want to buy it, then we're actually sending business to that person. So, and that is definitely allowed. We can do that.
Okay.
But we have to post a link to where they go to that person. We can't take the material and make it look like it's part of our course.
Okay. Because I was going to say, anybody that's on this call, and if you aren't, so sorry about my dog. Hold on. I just know it. Okay. So I'm telling you, I highly recommend this book, the book on estimating rehab costs. I mean, it takes you right down to the door, the window. I mean, the book is amazingly outlined.
Well, yeah, send me the resource. I can start a resource section in our membership site of books that are recommended. So, yeah, I can add it to the resource section, the link to it. And just send me the title because I can find the link. I'll go on Amazon and find the link.
I'm gonna put it right here in this this actual thing right here. That way everybody has it.
Okay.
And tell me what I was so shocked how good it was. And it just kind of keeps it. You know, it helps you understand what's being done. It even goes into detail, like what you need to have done. Like if you're looking at a door, you look at the frame. If you're, you know, I mean, that's how much detail it provides.
Perfect. Perfect. Good. Good. Good.
That's
good.
That's the author, that Jay Scott.
Yep. I will look that up.
And right now, if you get it on Kindle, it's $9.99.
Okay.
So.
Now, folks that are on, if you open up the chat and you go down to the bottom where it says to everyone and type your message here, if you click on those three little dots, there's a tab there where you can save the chat. So you can just save it and you don't have to copy it or write it down. And it'll save the chat for you. Perfect.
Best book I've bought so far.
All right. Good to know. All right, everyone. Thank you for coming on today. I know we ran over a little bit, but this was good stuff because it's just important to kind of see how everybody else is handling things. Number one, it lets us know that we're not hanging out there all alone. And number two, it gives us some great resources and tools and ways of thinking that might be helpful for us. So with that, I think we're going to sign off and we will see everyone next time. See you later.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.